light of your word. We ask you now that your word will proceed forth, that willingness, compelling power to do, every heart found willing, every mind found obedient to your word. We ask that your word, your wisdom of your word, will gain ascendancy over every counsel, over every belief system. And not only in our thoughts, in our words, will we worship you, but will we worship you in our conduct, in how we act on your word. We ask tonight, as we prepare to receive our meeting, camp meeting, next week, we ask that every heart is made much more prepared to become wiser in the things of the Spirit, to the end that we're able to receive and to maximize that blessed gift of a gathering together of one another. We ask and receive this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, who just says, amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 is our text. Praise God. I hope we are getting set for camp meeting. Are we getting set for camp meeting? Hallelujah. Matthew's gospel is our text, so I will just put a pause to our conversations around Christian meetings. I'll put a pause today, and we'll hold our meeting, and immediately after camp meeting, we'll be looking at a different subject, praise God. And we are going to continue with our Bible seminars immediately afterwards. Are we together? We have Friday Bible seminar. We have Sunday afternoon Bible seminar. And I know we've been looking at teaching the Spirit. Amen. We'll go conclude on teaching the Spirit. And then we have an ongoing study on Christology. Are we together? We're looking at the law of Moses again, a closer look. We're going to continue on that as well. And a number of other things we're going to pick up immediately after. So, take a pause here now, and I might return to this subject, but I might come back to it in a different format, that is teaching on Christian discipleship later in the year. Praise God. Alright, Matthew goes to 28. In verse 18, we're glad to have mommy now. It's good to have you around, man. Yeah. So in Matthew 28, verse 18, that's been our text. And Jesus came and said unto them, I hope everyone is with their Bibles and what? Writing materials. Thank you. So he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Are we together? He says, he mentioned water here. Are we together? I'm not saying water baptism is wrong or bad. I'm saying Jesus didn't mention it in this particular text. So he says, in the name of the Father. And I explained the name to us, right? Right? I explained the name to us while we looked at relationships. So he says, and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we said this is Jesus' instruction to go and make disciples. And we've said quite a number of things, part of which is that, you know, he already implies to hold meetings. By saying to go and make disciples, Jesus already implies that we're going to hold meetings. So the work of God is done via meeting together. Are we together? Are we together? The work of God is done via meeting together. Hallelujah. The work of God is done via meeting together. We come together. You know, God's work is done in a meeting or via meeting. Are we together? God's work is done via meetings. Via meetings. We said very crucially last Sunday that when it comes to people receiving the new birth, it was something as basic as getting born again. It requires meetings. Who said that? It requires meetings. In Genesis 1 text, in 26, I'll take more time on it next week Thursday. In Genesis 1:26, He says, let us make man in our image. He says, and after our likeness. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Are we together? So it is, so God created man in his image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. And God blessed them and said unto them, God said unto them, be fruitful. So we said that is a corporate address for a corporate mission. A corporate mission. It says, be fruitful and multiply. Interestingly, this is actually an instruction. An instruction. So the writer of Matthew, we said that was Jesus' words, obviously, because from the text we just read, now I mentioned because I'm not sure I'll get into that in my teaching truth committee. My thoughts are very full, so I'm not sure I'll mention some basic things. Yeah. And we have very limited time. That's fine. I'll do my best. So, but it's not something I've not mentioned before, that when Jesus said, all authority is given to me, we've seen before that that authority is the authority of Genesis, right? All right. The authority of Genesis, you said that is actually authority of Genesis, when it is all authority is given unto me. That's what he later said, in Matthew 28. Earlier on in Genesis 1, he says, let us make man in our image. We are later going to find out from later writers of the Bible, by that I mean the epistles, explain the image of God, they now pointed to Jesus. Are we together? That he is the image of God. Are we together? So whatever Moses was saying in Genesis, the writers of Scripture is saying that it is fulfilled in Christ. You get it? Now, there's that question of, is he only Jesus that is the image of God? Obviously, no. Are we together? But you can't answer that question until you have a basic, a proper understanding of what the image of God is referring to. What does it mean by the image of God? You have to understand the concept of the image of God before you start answering questions on it. The image of God. Are we together? In fact, to some extent, you will discover that when you have certain understanding, some questions will not come forth. Understanding takes care of questions, naturally. Because oftentimes, questions stem out of either a misunderstanding or an improper, insufficient understanding. Questions come forth from insufficient understanding or a misunderstanding of truth or of a truth. So just by presenting a truth in a proper way, a diligent and a detailed way, you observe that some questions will not even surface at all. So someone asking, is Jesus the only image of God? You have to understand, like I said, the concept of God's image. For example, in discussing God's image, the Bible talks about a nation being described as God's image. The Bible also talks about personalities because of the offices they occupy. In the Old Testament books, being also presented as God's image. Are we together? David now is taught as the image of God. I remember a while ago we went into looking at the concept of the Son of God. The Son of God. When the Bible says the Son of God, it is a very similar thought with the image of God. The biblical concept on the image of God and the biblical concept on the Son of God are the same thing, explained or presented in two different ways. The Son of God. You also find another word, the seed of God. The seed. They are the same things. The Bible writers are describing basically the same things. The seed of God, the Son of God, the image of God. Are we together? The one who acts on God's stead. You know, many times, like we saw, it's used to describe the king of Israel, the one who executes God's will on the earth amongst people, is described as the Son of God. So there are times when angels are described as sons of God. There are times when Jesus himself is described as the Son of God, and we must know why Jesus is called the Son of God. There are times where the church, for example, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews describes the church as the church of the firstborn, the church of the Son, the church of the firstborn. You know, you can put it the church of the Son of God or the church of the firstborn. Similar thoughts. You also have the entire nation of Israel being also described as the Son of God. So the image of God, the Son of God, are synonymous terminologies, like we said. But look at something there. It says in Genesis 1, in 28, it says, "And God blessed them and said unto them." So again, we see that God's blessing were his words. Are we together? God's blessings is God's utterances. Amen? So it says, "And God blessed them and said," very instructive, that the very first time that the blessings of God were described in the scriptures, the first time that the blessing of God was mentioned in scripture, they were the words of God. Did you get it? They were the words which God spoke. The words. The word of God is described as his blessing. Very instructive. Now look at that. It says, "And God blessed them and said," it says, "be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth." Now where I'm going is that the one who is told to be fruitful, given instruction to multiply, to replenish the earth and to subdue it and to have dominion, is a people and not a person. So it shows you that God gives his mandate. Where else do we find that aside from the Great Commission stands at the far west or the east? The Genesis mandate stands at the far, what's it called, west. Now in between you also see similar scenarios. For example, at the Exodus, God gave his mandate to not a person but a nation. Some will say, but God gave his mandate to Moses. No. Whatever was given to Moses was for a nation of Israel. Are we together? So God gave his mandate to Israel. Moses was not the destination of God's mandate. It was the Israelites. But Moses is a vessel. Moses is a channel. Because God will many times reach out to his people via the shepherd. Are we together? So God gives his mandate, what we can call the mandate of the promised land, or the mandate at the promised land, was given to a people, a nation. You'll find the same thing in Nehemiah. By Nehemiah chapter 8, again, God gives his mandate now, not through Moses, but through Nehemiah. Even though Nehemiah was still walking through Moses. Are we together? Well, let me put it this way differently, that Moses was walking through Nehemiah. Moses was no more at that time, but Nehemiah was addressing the people from Moses' text. Again, it shows you that when God addresses people, when God addresses man, he addresses man corporately. His counsel is for a people. A people. That immediately esteems the place of meeting together. So that shows you that one of the things that meeting together does for us is that a moment, I wanted to say a place, but I'll say a moment. A moment of meeting together is a moment to hear God. A moment of meeting together is a moment to hear the Lord, because he gives his counsel to a people. So when we are gathered together, there are things that will be said in an unusual way. Some say, "What about God speaking to me personally?" You are going to observe that God will not tell you anything personally that is not what he has told a people corporately. He will not. God will not tell you anything personally that contradicts what he has told his people. He will not. So there is no instruction of God that seeks to isolate you from being useful to his people. Are we together? God's word can come to you personally and cause you to begin to walk in greater consecration, greater devotion, greater commitment. But hear me clearly, whatever God says to you always has an application in the assembly. So there is no walk with God. Oh, I am walking with God. I am walking with God. There is no walk with God that isolates you from the people of God. The walk with God, my walk with God, rather makes me much more useful for God amongst his people. It makes me much more useful. It makes me a better vessel through which the gift, the graces, and the giftings of God can flow toward his people. Are we together, church? We said from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. So what we call the gifts of the Spirit, or the gifts in the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, whichever way you put it, what we call the gifts in the Spirit are enablements of God that finds expression among these people. So the Genesis mandate, which we later see in Jesus' words as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, is given to a people. God assigns his work to a people. I hope we get that. God assigns his work to who? The people. I'll say that again and again. God assigns his work to who? The people. The work of God is given to who? A people, not a man. That's why the work is more possible when there are people around, right? It's faster when there are people around, right? Right? When there are people around. Glory to God forevermore. When there are people around, it's faster. God is a God of crowds. Is it clear? God is a God of what? Crowd. He loves crowds. He wants it. He works with it. Amen. He says, how beautiful are the what? Feet. He didn't say it's the foot. He didn't say how beautiful is the foot. He says how beautiful are the what? Are the feet. A people. Don't say a people. So God works with a people. And when he calls for a meeting, it becomes an avenue to do an unusual work amongst the people. Amongst the people. So we said earlier on that a disciple is somebody who is aware. We said in that awareness, there must be an awareness of where God is. There must be an awareness of what God is doing and how he is doing it. So we said God uses meetings. He works with gatherings. Gatherings, therefore, must be part of our intelligence. And at the gathering intelligence, a major thing is to know the place. To know the place in order to do what? To be there. Another intelligence is to what? Is to what? Is to be there in order to what? Participate. To participate in order to move his work forward. In order to move his work forward. Dr. Miles Monroe, of blessed memory, will say that when you come to a conference, what today we can call a special meeting or a service in the church, when we come for a service in the church, or we come for a special meeting or a camp meeting, he says you don't come to a conference. I'll use my word camp meeting. You don't come for a camp meeting to be excited. You come to meetings to receive a mandate. That's what Miles Monroe said. That those kind of meetings are periods where God hands over his mandate and empowers us for it. So in those kind of meetings, there are information. There's the information of what God is doing. Then there are instructions. That is a charge, a command. An instruction. There's an instruction. The Acts 1:8 meeting was an instruction. The Matthew 28 meeting, he gave them a mandate. So I attend special meetings in order to come and receive what? The mandate. Are we together? And receiving the mandate, I also receive the empowerment. From the empowerment. I receive the empowerment to fulfill the mandate. What are the empowerments? Information. Knowledge. Knowledge is an empowerment. Then we have the things of the Spirit, the gifts and the graces of God. The gifts and the graces of God. The gifts and the graces of God. In the meeting, the gifts of God. Someone say the gifts of God. Then the graces of God. Grace and enablement of God's Spirit. God himself enables you to do something. Hallelujah. God enables you. Enables you. Enables you. Enables you. He enables you in the meeting. Sometimes some things has been on your mind, and many times he put those things in your heart. He put those things in your heart. But sometimes the fact that God has called you to do something doesn't mean it's time to do it. So how are you going to know? He's going to use vessels at certain times. Sometimes those vessels are to help you to see that there is a grace. Some other times, those vessels are to make you to see the timing of it. Look at Acts 13, everyone. Acts 13. Some of the special meetings. Acts 13. Is your Bibles? Is your Bibles? In verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Praise God forevermore. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, serving prophets and teachers. In the church already. He didn't say they gathered. He said in the church, these men were there. These men were there in the church. Praise God. And in the church, we can have elders. And when the Bible talks about elders, it has nothing to do with age. It has a lot to do with the gifts of God and maturity. in walking in that gift. Maturity of ministering the things of God. Maturity. Maturity means you understand what God is doing. You are aware of His resources. And you are able to use the resources to achieve what He is doing according to instruction and leading of the Spirit. That is maturity. Maturity is that you are not in the ministry for gain. We are not in the ministry for gain. We are in the ministry to change lives. We have the unsaved to be saved, and the saved to grow in the knowledge of Jesus and to function in the callings of God upon their lives. And God has called you to then do that. So when God has called you to do that, maturity is that you know how to go about it. You have the wisdom of God's Spirit. Not using carnal knowledge, carnal insights, reading materials for ministry. No! No! You are led of the Spirit. I am led of the Spirit. In Joshua 1, God had to talk to Joshua. He says, this book of the law must not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate day and night. For then thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. I've told you, in the originals, what you have there is not thou shalt have good success. What you have there is that thou shalt be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. That's what you have in the original Hebrew. Thou shalt be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life as a pastor, of course, as a leader of the people of God. God is calling us all to lead. Hallelujah. To lead in different ways and different places and different levels. So in those meetings, there are elders already in the church. That was at Antioch. Already in the church. Daddy, Laurie, something like that. And look at what it is. He now mentioned them. Are we together? He mentions folks. He mentions the leaders there in that church. In that church. He mentioned them. Mentioned men like Pekuya. Mentioned men like Caesar. Are we together? In that church. In that church. In that church. In the church that was at Antioch, they were already, he says, they were standing prophets, are we together? And teachers there already in the church. Then look at verse 2. He says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. This was not in their rooms. So that means verse 2 was now the verse 1 gathering in a physical meeting. As they ministered to the Lord, hallelujah, and fasted, what does it say? The Holy Ghost said. Now, the Holy Ghost did not talk using a cat by the roadside. He spoke using the people that were gathered. He used men. God uses men, right? Was that what we said on Sunday? When Adam saw Eve, right? What did he say? He said, this is the bone of my what? Of my bones. I told you, we have wrongly used those texts for marriage. It has nothing to do with marriage. He says, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. So we saw the different places in the scriptures where that statement was used. It didn't imply marriage. Though in the next verse, he now says, for this cause, so marriage is built on it. But the text is not referring to marriage. This is the bone of my bone. Saying, see, this is compatible. Humanity is compatible. Are we together? Compatibility will function together. This one can function for me. So Moses now said, based on that, the man can separate himself and marry the woman. Is it clear?
But the reason for the marriage is because a compatibility exists amongst man beyond marriage. God uses man for man. So in God's plan, He is going to touch a man, a human, another human is compatible for that effect, for that influence. Another man. If God is going to speak to me, He can use, he can more effectively use a fellow man than a donkey. I told you. So when we see the donkey speaking, it is abnormal. That is not God's method. God has to use the method because man has gone dull. Say, I won't go dull. Say, I don't go dull. Yeah. God will not have to use an abnormal thing to communicate to me. No. My heart is sensitive. I'm a child. I remain a child. That's it. I'm led by the Spirit. That's why the New Testament writer, when he's going to explain that scenario, he says God used a donkey, an ass, to forbid the madness of a prophet. Imagine. Now the New Testament books is the Holy Spirit speaking much more expressly. The Spirit of God is coming and saying that that prophet was mad. No, not me. Not me. I'm sensitive in my heart. I have the heart of a child. God can easily entreat me. I am vulnerable to the voice of God. Yes, you are. You are. Hallelujah. So Adam saw the woman. Are we together? Adam saw the woman and says, this is another human. This one is what? Compatible. If God has called him to subdue the earth, he says, this one is what? Compatible. To be fruitful, he says, this one is what? Compatible. This one is compatible. Well, we can function alike. Hallelujah. We can function alike. So look at that. He says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In other words, another way of saying it is time. Someone say, it is time. So sometimes there are things you have been waiting on God for. He's put a desire in your heart. You've been waiting on Him. You're waiting on Him. Sometimes you fast because we fast. Sometimes you pray because we pray. Sometimes, you know, you've walked in purity just to ensure that nothing is missing. And then it takes advantage of that gathering to tell you it is not yet time or it is time. Are we together? I won't miss my time. I don't miss the leading of the Spirit. I am sensitive. Praise God forevermore. Meetings are not to be joked with. So we said, anyone who says, I don't depend on people, is a devilish statement. I don't need people is a devilish statement. You need people. God sends you people. It is because of what God does through people that we have meetings. Hallelujah. So he says, two or three in my name, I am there. See, I'll be there. So we said that Christian meetings are not only necessary, they are not only available, rather, they are also compulsory. They are necessary. They are necessary. If relationships are fundamental to our makeup, then meetings are fundamental. So look at that. God brought a man into this world, and in order for him or her not to have a jaundiced, parentage, God creates an atmosphere of relationships for that person to function. Are we together? In order for the man not to be stranded, like I was saying somewhere on Monday, in order for someone, you know, for someone not to be stranded, God surrounds the person with people. God already, in God's ideal system, there's already going to be a structure that the person comes into. In other words, the person becomes conscious into this. He doesn't become conscious and then looking for the structure. No! That is, when that happens, that is not the normal way. Is it clear? That means something has happened. Something negative has happened. But the normal thing is that a newborn or, you know, a human being, you know, comes into the structure. The structure is already there. He comes into it naturally. Then spiritually also, God sets people among these people, around these people. Is it clear? Is it Psalm 68 now? He says, he does what? He set the what? The solitary. In what? Family. See, that is God's work. He does it. So when God is at work in our lives, there will be no solitude. No solitude. No lack of relationships. That's what I'm saying. Godly relationships. Praise God forevermore. No lack of godly relationships. A sign that God is working in your life is that He has put you among a people. For you to give and receive from. Hallelujah. He has set you. He said the solitude. In what? In famine. He said, a father of what? Of the fatherless. A judge of what? Of the widow. Is that Psalm 68? Verse 5? Thank you. Are we together? A father of what? Of the fatherless. A judge of what? Of the widows. And by the time if you look at the law of Moses, and you read about the widow and the fatherless, you know, you see the widow and the fatherless occur many times in the scriptures, even in New Testament books. But that is rooted in the law of Moses in Deuteronomy. And also, not Leviticus now, Deuteronomy to be precise, in Deuteronomy. When you go and read concerning the fatherless, the orphans, and the widow in the law of Moses, Moses was instructing how that the people of Israel should be just enough to ensure that those people are catered for, to ensure that they do not feel, are we together? They do not feel. So, in the nation, well, when God is allowed to walk amongst His people, are you listening to me tonight? When God, because that is the counsel of God. So when God is amongst His people and is allowed to walk, that means His word has a free course. Like 2 Thessalonians says, the word of the Lord has a free course. The word of the Lord has a free course. So when the word of the Lord has a free course amongst Israel, the widow will not feel like she doesn't have an husband. When it comes to the justice systems of the land, the widow will not feel it. Because the king of Israel will have that area, that the law will be just. Things will be done rightly. Are we together? She will not be cheated. The same thing is the orphan. They will not be cheated. They won't be treated as second class because they don't have symbols of authority. Now the husband is a symbol of authority in Israel. The parents are also symbols of authority. So if the symbol of the authority is not there, they will not suffer, because the law will be just. Their causes will be well pleaded for. There will be justice in the land. So he says, that is what God does amongst his people. Now, that means that, you know, the husband to the woman and the parents to the child is meant for righteousness to prevail, for things to go rightly. So the righteousness of God among his people is that the fatherless, are we together, is protected. The widow is cared for. That is what God does. And look at how he does it. He does that by setting people in what? In families. In families. So I don't say I don't need people. No. Praise God forevermore. I don't say I don't need people. God created us primarily to what? To function together. That is the basis of Christian meeting. By now, we should all have caught that vital far, right? In fact, look at this. When he created you, he gave you eyes and ears. Do you know why he gave you ears? You know why he gave you ears? You don't know why he gave you ears? It's for what? Interaction. Can you see that? Interaction. He gave you ears. He gave you ears when there was no earpiece. Then you plug your earpiece and you sit in one bed at the corner. No. Remove the earpiece and say, good morning. Did you get it? Remove the earpiece and say what? Good morning. You are entering to a space where there are people. Remove the earpiece and say, hello everyone, good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, ma. Wow, it's good to see you. Thank you. And then you plug your word. Are we together? He gave you eyes. He gave you ears. Praise God forevermore. That is interaction. We are wired to interact. He gives you mouth. He gave you a mouth to initiate and to receive interactions. So we function and live by interaction, relationships. So your Christian life cannot be done alone. It is through interactions. He works with interactions. Meetings. Praise God. So we said God's method is man. He doesn't do without man. He doesn't do without man. The issue in Matthew 3:9, where it says God is able to raise unto himself, it says from these stones. The issue is not that God will not need man. What John the Baptist is saying is that he is able to bring forth another set of what? Men. If you present once, do not heed his counsel. Matthew 3:9. He says, God is able to, of these stones, raise upward children unto who? Unto Abraham. So the issue is not whether he will need man or not. The issue is that he will always find himself a man or a people. God is never stranded.
Because he will always find himself, for himself rather, a people. He will always find for himself a man, vessel to use. In 1 Kings 19, if you read from verse 1, there about verse 8, God has to tell what's his name now, Elijah. He says, I have how many people? 7,000 men. Wow. 7,000 men in Israel. So he didn't say in the nations of the world. He says in this same Israel. The same place. He has people. God has people everywhere. Are we together? Sometimes a church can feel like, oh, maybe they are the only ones God is using. God has many. Many. Maybe it's because they are a good number. Are we together? They are doing rightly. That it even looks to you as though you are not plenty. Think about that when you get home. The moment all decides to default, you will just see God come to the remaining ones and just give an unusual grace to blow up what is happening. So you wonder, wow. Now you wonder, why has God given this so much grace to this particular one? It could be because every other one has what? Has fumbled. So God hastens his work. He's like a catalyst. He hastens the work. He hastens the work. He blows the bellows. And then the flames can make up. Praise God. I say, praise God. Are we together? So look at that. 7,000 men. Where?
In Israel.
Then he says, they have not bowed their what? Their knees, nor their what? Tongue. And then when he says knees and tongue, don't forget that the New Testament writer spoke about knees and tongue, right? Philippians 2. He says, every knee shall what? Bow. Tongues what? Confess. So he's talking about allegiance. Allegiance. So he's not saying that I have 7,000 I can use. He's saying there are 7,000 that are currently vessels. 7,000. Their heart and their devotion unto me. Are we together? Are we together? The Bible in your hands are products of men. God used men. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, you see men. If you read 2 Peter 1:19 to 21, well, you will see men. Only men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men. Are we together? It means that if I miss man, I miss God. Because man is God's method. God will not do anything outside humanity in his work amongst men. So when I come together with believers, are we together? First of all, it is a necessity. And secondly, it becomes God's avenue to work. Hallelujah. So Christian meetings, like I said earlier, is not only available. Yes, Christian meetings is one of the things I have, I possess in Christ. Are we together? One of my possessions in Christ is Christian meetings. But it's not only available, it is compulsory. Tell your neighbor, say, Christian meeting is compulsory. It is compulsory. Gathering together with others is God's wisdom for progressing in his will. That is what meetings are meant for. So when I miss those meetings,
or I stay away from those meetings, I lose. Well, does the garden also lose? Yes, but I lose more. I lose to the enemy. I lose to Satan. But the isolated obviously suffers more. I lose when I miss meetings. When I stay away from meetings, I lose. Because God uses meetings. And in those meetings, He works with men. He works with men. Are we together, church? He works with men. Praise God. So I said this in my notes. I said, He did not give the Great Commission to them by SMS. He didn't give the Great Commission to them privately. He called them to a place and He gave it to them in a place together. He asked them to come together in one place. Are we together? And in that gathering, He hands over the Great Commission to them. He hands over the Great Commission to them in the gathering. In John 14, 15 to 17, in John 16, verse 8 to 15, Jesus described the work of the Holy Ghost, the activities of the Spirit. He described the activities of the Spirit. What does that mean? If you are reading John 14 and you are reading John 16, one of the things that will be in your consciousness is that the Spirit of God is active. The Spirit of God is what? Active. The Spirit of God works. In fact, the Spirit of God is described as God on a mission. You cannot read the Holy Spirit and you are not mission-minded. The Spirit of God is walking, or the Spirit of God walks. John 14, John 16 presents the Spirit of God as an active personality. So when we say the work of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, or the move of the Spirit, or when we say the work of the Spirit, we are using the right caption. Because there's something such as the work of the Spirit. There's something such as the move of the Spirit. Some say the move of the Spirit. Some say the work of the Holy Ghost. Some say the move of the Holy Ghost. So there's something such as the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit. You open the Bible for the very first time, you read, and the Spirit of God moved on the walls of the face of the... So the Spirit of God is described as a moving personality, a walking personality, an active personality. It's not dormant. He's not dormant. He's active. Are we together? God's Spirit is described as having activities. God's Spirit. Having activities. God's Spirit. He's described as having activities. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. So when I'm walking with the Spirit, will I have activities? Let have activities. Because the Spirit of God has what? Activities. When I'm walking with the Spirit, will I be on motion? Will I be on the same spot? Oh? Will I be on the same spot? Will I have activities?
when I'm walking with the Spirit, moving with the Spirit of God, will I be covering ground? Will I be covering ground? Will I remain dormant? No. Say no dormant ministry. Say no dormant ministry. He says be fruitful, right? Does that sound like dormancy? Replenish the earth. Does that look like being idle? Does that sound like covering the ground? Subdue? Be fruitful? Multiply. Is that dormancy? Say there's no dormancy. Not in my life. Not in my ministry. Say in my ministry. In my life. In my preaching ministry. In my teaching ministry. There is no dormancy. So I break the mold. I break the mold. So look at me, everyone. Anything stopping you out of the world, move out of the way. Move it. Anything stopping you out of the world, move. So you see, we're going to see on Thursday, there's a wind. Are we together? He says the wind came and moved the waters, because the waters were stopping them. I've told you that the Exodus is God's character. So the Word Life Believers Community Church, God is saying, go forward. If anything is hindering you, what do? Move it! Put the rod into the water. Is it clear? Put the rod into the water. Move it. Move it. Same wind came on the waters of Mar. The same wind. A forceful wind. The Spirit of God is forceful. Let me use another word. The Spirit of God is aggressive. Aggressive at the enemy. The Spirit of God. Not just one, easy going spirit that is so unmotivated. No. That's why your brother, when you are full of the Holy Ghost, you are very motivated. You see me? You are very what? Motivated. Very motivated. Are we together? They say, are you motivated? Say, motivated. Are we together? Yeah. I remember those family days. Say, are you motivated? Motivated. What's the status? Your boys are motivated, sir. Are you ready? Gallant, sir. Are we together? Yes, when you are full of the Holy Ghost, you are motivated. Every mountain looks movable. Every fig tree that is not bearing fruit looks what? Dryable. Every sea looks what? Passable. Is it clear? Because when you are full of the Holy Ghost, one of the signs is that the Spirit of God begins to steal through you. Your sight and the sight of the Holy Ghost, we can't differentiate. Are we together? Can you differentiate? You can't differentiate. It's because you can't differentiate that Peter said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to what? To come. And Jesus says what? He says, come. Then the guy got on the water. He got on the water. Are we together? Rejoiner will say that when, Bill Johnson said, when the impossible looks logical, faith is in action. Because God works on our eyes. Oh Lord, you will train my eyes. I will not see the obstacle. Lord, you will train my eyes. My eyes are your own.
He can train your eyes. Those guys came back. They said, Pastor, we went to where they say, Pastor, is it those guys? That's what Joshua and Caleb said. He said, we will rush them like Indomie. Are we together? And some of that guy there say, please don't let them come near us. Because if they come near us, they will just press us down like grasshopper. And they will press down. The Lord will train my hands. The Lord will train my hands. At camp meeting, the Lord train my hands. The Lord will train my hands. I will see the visions of God. Is it a burning furnace that you are going to be afraid of when you have seen the visions of God? Daniel had seen the visions of God. They are now bringing burning furnace. Burning furnace. The three evil guys, you couldn't move them. Daniel, a man that has stood in the midst of supernatural beings, tall and hefty to the heavens, and now bring him around lions. Who owns these cats?
Hey!
Because when you see God, are we together? Are we together? When you see the things of God, look at the song. He says, I will look up higher, right? Where God doth dwell and his glory doth prevail. And when I look up higher, he says the things of this earth, they what? They grow dim. The challenges will be there. You will not see. It will not stop you. You will be moving. But people will be like, it's a contradiction. But the challenge is there. But you are moving. And they cannot move because of the same challenges. Because you have seen the visions of God. My eyes are open. See, that is the meaning of revelation. Paul says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Look at what happened. Look at what happened. When he says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, he looked as though Paul had looked at his ministry. And I've seen the saints, and I've seen similarities. He has seen similarities in the lives of the saints and himself. And he has seen the grounds that he has covered in ministry. And he looked at the saints. He says, you can't cross over to where I am until your eyes are open. So he says, I'm praying that your eyes are open so that you also can cross over. Can cross over to where I am. You can cross over in exploits. You can cross over in revelation. You can cross over in insight. You can cross over in devotion. Some of you here, you look at your leaders, you are wondering how devoted they are. You need to cross over. Come, it is for you. You need to cross over. You cross over. In devotion. In commitment. In the teaching gifts. Some of you, you just marvel at the resilience. You will cross over. Some of you look at your leader and say, why is it that this person just take this whole thing as simple thing, and at the end of the day we all arrive there? Can't I also see things that way? Then you cross over. Where the Spirit of God is saying, come up here. Let's go. Look at that. He had to cross over. Tell Elijah. I'm sure he stood that waters with Elijah wondering what will happen. He was wondering what will happen. At another time, when he himself, not Elijah now, he himself, the captain of the kings came, various captains, with armies to arrest him. And then he was with the disciples. Are we together? You can't lead someone into revelation if you have not had it. He was with a disciple. And then that one was jittering. Then he was jittering. They have sent the military to come and pick up pastor, to come and do this. And the Bible said Elisha prayed to God for him. He says, God, he says, open his eyes. He now saw what Elisha always sees. Then he saw an army. He saw a chariot. Oh, so it was one of those that picked Elijah up. Are we together? Are we together? So you can be sure that when the giftings and the grace of Elijah rested upon Elisha, Elisha now had the raw material to work with. So what comes upon you is greater than what you used to function in. Yet, that thing becomes a raw material still. Our final year. Are we together? Are we together? It happens in meetings. And my eyes are open. To see what belongs to me in Christ. That my eyes are open. To see God's inheritance. Some of you, your eyes are going to be open. You are going to see that God wants to give you a whole city. Imagine a city like Lagos. A whole city. See, your mind cannot conceive it. Sit down. Your mind cannot what? Conceive it. Sit down. Your mind cannot conceive it. A whole city. And God is telling you that you are going to plant churches in all the nooks and crannies. So you will now see why you have already come into this kind of serving the Lord, this kind of ministry, this kind of knowledge at 25. It will now be clear to you that it is to your advantage. That God didn't wait till you are 40. So you turn your eyes away from these worldly celebrities. And you start walking in the plans and purposes of God. In the plans and purposes of God. Some of you, God is going to show you that the pursuit of money, that pursuit of money, that the path he wants to lead you to, he wants to use you to train billionaires. Not in the art of money making, of course, but in the gospel of the kingdom. God is showing you that, hey, why are you so buried in the pursuit of money? I want you to have enough depth to pastor the Arimathias. And he opens your eyes to see. Lord, my eyes are open. I remain a child. I remain a child. I will hear the same things. And my heart will ignite. That is what is available at Camden. Revelation. Revelation. Revelation is to know how to do it. To know how to go about it. You have consciousness of the things to do, but you are not sure how to go about it. You don't know which step to take now. You don't know which one. Where do I go? I have 5 options. Which of them should I explore? Which of them? I have several options. Which of them should I? Which one should I start with now? Where should I move from here? Lord, which direction should I turn? Revelation. Revelation. It is what God does. Revelation. He says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. There are things that your humanity can't grasp. It is flesh and blood. That is your scientific knowledge, your literacy. It is, I've not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Then at another time, he says, thank you, Father, for you have revealed unto these ones.
Hallelujah. Yeah, my eyes are open. My ears are open. My heart is open. I am taught of the Lord. Some things that your pastor or your leaders are trying to communicate to you, God will just tell it to you His own way. Ha! And in the words of God comes the strength to run with it. That is revelation. In the words of God comes the strength to run in a tireless manner. And men will wonder, what have you eaten? Kilo major, what have you eaten? What have you taken? From whence have you gotten this strength? Then we say, just like Paul, the grace that was bestowed upon me. I am who I am. I am who I am by the grace. By the grace of God, I am who I am today. I labor more abundantly. It is yet not I, but the grace which was bestowed upon me. Revelation. As the word of God comes to you. What did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah said, I ate. He gave him the scroll, the water. He said, I ate it. He says, it was sweet, then it was bitter. Those are experiences of the word. How we have experiences of the word. The word of God will break me. The word of God will remold me. The things of this world will lose its hold. I will be possessed by God. I will see the way it is. I will reason the way it is. My mind will be open. I will not struggle with the word. Lord, I am yours. That's it. Then your devotion will be spiked up. Spiked up. Spiked up. 100%. 100%. After first session, you are at 30%. After second session, you are like 40-something%. After third session, 50-something%. Sixth session, by seventh session, 100%. With plus. Are we together? Yeah. That is what God is doing, and I am in it. So I'm so blessed to be alive. Are we together? I'm so blessed to be alive. I'm so privileged to be alive in 2026, to be part of what God is doing. To be part of it. I told you that one of the benefits of serving the Lord is that you will not serve the enemy. You look at the social media, you look at TikTok, the social media, you see a lot of people of your age serving the enemy. Getting involved in things that get others to stumble. No, not me. I will go for them. May I never become part of the people we are trying to harvest. No! I have crossed that bridge by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm burning forever through the help of the Holy Ghost. God is helping me. Wisdom for life. Are we together? Will come from the Word of God. Wisdom for life. Wisdom for living. Areas that I've not gotten before, I will get it right. Places where I've not understood, I will have understanding. The words I have understanding to be deepened. I will discover a greater reason to live right. I will discover a greater reason to pray. I will discover a stronger reason to serve God.
I will discover a greater reason, to go after productivity in the natural. Some of you have businesses. You're going to see that God wants those businesses to serve Him. That's why it must not fail. Maybe your business is just generating hundreds of thousands in a monthly basis. God wants you to see that it should generate millions. Are we together? So you now see the place of natural wisdom and supernatural wisdom, both working together. Just like Daniel. I told you, Daniel was someone like that in the secular world. And he didn't get all his wisdom from the Bible. He went for conference, he went for all that. But he had the wisdom of God to lead. I'll grasp the wisdom of God to lead. It's available. It's an avalanche. A special meeting, a camp meeting is an avalanche. Different packages available. Are we together? Available to take, to receive, session upon session. Are we together, church? So the Holy Ghost is what? Walking. I start closing. The Holy Ghost is what? Moving. The Holy Ghost is what? Busy. Genesis 1 presents a mission. That's why when you look at the book of Acts, you see in Acts 1 verse 2, it says the Holy Ghost spoke. So the Holy Ghost speaks. Say He still speaks today. He has not gone dumb. What has happened is that people's hearts have grown inert and cold. But God is still speaking today. He says the Holy Ghost spoke. In verse 16 again, He says the Holy Ghost said. In 2 Peter 1:16, He says led by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost leads. In Acts 2, He says the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? That means the Holy Ghost gives. The gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 is not the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 is what He gives. Are we together? Particularly all senses and supernatural giftings and ministries. In Acts 5, verse 5, He says, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" So the Holy Ghost listens. Are we together? So the Spirit of God that the Bible describes to us is not an inert personality that is sitting like an idol. No, it's a walking and active personality. And it's busy amongst us. In Acts 5:32, it says the Holy Ghost witnesses. By Acts 7, in verse 51, Stephen, he says, you receive the Holy Ghost. In Acts 16, verse 6, he says, the Holy Ghost forbade them. So He is active. Hallelujah. And look at what He does. He does it through people. That activity is through men. Men full of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So if I believe that men who are full of Holy Ghost will be at camp meeting, I will be there. He says the Holy Ghost spoke in Acts 13:2, like we saw. Into verse 4, He says, having laid hands on them, He says they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost, and it was men that sent them forth. So the things that the Holy Ghost does today, He does through people who are full of the Spirit, who are yielded to Him in their words, in their actions, and in their thoughts. Who are yielded to Him in their motives and their intentions. Who are yielded to Him. I say, I'm yielded to the Holy Ghost. That's why from Sunday, we're going to embark on the fast. Because it makes us much more what? Yielded to the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So in coming and arriving at the meeting, what do? I am there to receive. I'm also there in the meeting to give, to participate. What does it mean to participate? I will follow instructions. So I must be at camp meeting to follow instructions. How many instructions should I follow? All instructions. Because I believe that the men who are giving those directives are led by the Holy Ghost. I follow all instructions. Instructions to pray, I follow it. Instructions to see, I follow it. Instructions to rejoice the Holy Ghost, I follow it. Instructions to be healed of God, I follow it. Instructions to sing, I follow it. Instructions to receive the word of God, to write, to take notes, I follow it. Instructions to be around on time, to not come late for the sessions, I follow it. I follow all the instructions. Because I know that the instructions is God leading me. Acts 15 verse 8. Acts 15 verse 28. I'm giving you those texts so that you can go read them at home. Acts 15 verse 28. He says, the Holy Ghost sent them forth. It has pleased the Holy Ghost. And it was men that were speaking what they had agreed, but not ordinary men. Men full of the Holy Ghost. Men yielded to the Holy Ghost. So it seems like whenever men does things full of the Holy Ghost and yielded to Him, that thing is described as the Holy Ghost did. Whenever men said things, when they were full of the Holy Ghost and fully yielded to Him, those things they said is treated as the Holy Ghost said. So an encounter with those men at those moments is an encounter with who? With the Holy Ghost. So when I miss those moments, I miss the Holy Ghost. I won't miss the Holy Ghost. Acts 20:28. Paul said the Holy Ghost has made overseers. It was Paul who made them overseers. But Paul, full of the Spirit, and yielded to the Spirit. So it seems to me that the actions of men, when those men are fully yielded to the Holy Ghost and filled with the Holy Ghost, those actions are said to have been done by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. When the prophets prophesied, Peter came and said, holy men of God spoke as they were led of the Holy Ghost. We have the Bible today, treated as the Word of God, and it was men. God used men's mind and men's languages, but yielded to the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm yielded to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a place, I'll be there. And I'll be there to participate. In the participation, I give and I was receive. I give. I know we give our offerings. I know we give material things. Yes. But I'm talking about the things of the Spirit. Because in a meeting like that, everyone has. Say, I have.
I have.
I have the things of God. I have what to bless me. Because God is walking through me. You see, a unique thing about camp meeting. See, it is called Christ Disciples Conference. It's a conference of Jesus' disciples. They are aware. That means you will see things you might not see elsewhere. In Christ's discipleship camp meeting, it's a gathering of disciples. So everyone has, and they know they have. That means after camp meeting, by the power of the Holy Spirit, nobody should go back home sick. Because there is no incurable disease in the body of Christ. None. 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 In the body of Christ, there is no disease was incurable. Whatever disease could not be cured in the body of Christ cannot be cured anywhere. Because Christ is in His body. Walking. 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 The enemy of the move of Christ in His body is strife, dissension, unhealthy living, and all of that. Strife, anger, malice. That is. But when God has helped us by His Spirit to do away with all of those things, there's a flow of love. And love heals the sick. Love casts out devils. Are we together? The gift of the Spirit is love in action. The love of God at work for us. He will undo all the works of the flesh. He will restore every backsliding Christian. Everyone who are not yet yielded yet, open fully to serving the Lord in the church or in their local churches, will be turned back, will be turned alive to serve God. Convictions will be cut. Convictions will be cut. Desires to become earnest. and heartfelt, heart to burn for the Lord. Younger ones will burn for the Lord. Elderly ones will burn for the Lord. The zeal out of the youthful ages will be restored. We receive all these at camp meeting. That sick bodies are healed. 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 Sick bodies are healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sick bodies are healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sick bodies are healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sick bodies are healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sick bodies are healed. Hearts are encouraged. Ministries are strengthened. Ministries are buffeted. And ministries are strengthened by the power of the Holy Ghost. Habits will fall off. False influences. Influences of drugs and substance abuse, bodily abuse, all forms of abuses will fall off from men. Men will be purified. Hearts will be ignited. Bodies will be healed. Minds will be strengthened. Hearts will be encouraged. The giftings of God will be distributed. There will be supernatural encounters, visions, signs and wonders of the Holy Ghost. The mandate will be received. Men will run and not be tired. Men will walk and not be weary. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Yes, we receive all this and more. We receive everything that God does by His Spirit. What life believers come to church is the church called of God. In Christ's Avenue Camp Meeting, it's a meeting called of God. A local church conference, strong churches will be birthed. Churches that will grow all over Nigeria, all over Africa. Not led by the flesh, but led by the Holy Ghost. 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 Ministries will be perfect. That the God of this age will have no part in it. But the mission of the God of heaven and earth, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, will be fulfilled. Men will grow stronger. Women will grow stronger. There will be no weaknesses whatsoever. The glory of God will overshadow every weak point. The light of God will outshine every darkness. The power of the Holy Spirit will override every weakness. Men will pour with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we receive it. We receive that mandate to have dominion, to multiply, to be fruitful, to subdue the earth, to increase. 2026, we increase. We are stronger. We are firmer. We are taking roots deeper. We are bearing fruit higher. We are taking roots deeper. We are bearing fruit higher. By the Holy Ghost. The love of God will prevail. The love of God will prevail. The love of God will prevail. The compassion of Jesus will fill every heart. And we will walk in it. And we will function in it. Endlessly. The ministry of the word and prayer will be strengthened. Reinforced amongst us.
the ministry of angels. We be amplified. Resources we abound. Wisdom we abound. The gifts of spirit we abound. A more robust charismatic ministry. More women in 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 ministry. Wise women. Stronger women. Compassionate. Pure. Unstoppable. They will not bow to the enemy. They will not bow to societal pressure. They will not bow to human traditions. They will be led by the Holy Ghost. They will be led by the Word of God. They will be led by the Scriptures. They will be led by the Holy Ghost. We bless more pastors in the church. More self-pastors. More leaders. More leaders. Men who will function in the gifts of God. They will function in their place. Function in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They will not be stopped. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and give me praise tonight. These and more. What can meeting will be to us?